Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 10th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, not running for election.
Yay! Oh,
sorry. Virginia Bass.
Yay. Glad to be here today.
All right.
I'm glad to not see any of my signs lining
up. Not be out on the trail, yeah. Or why do they say that today is blackball? Why do we say a person has been rejected for membership by a secret society has been blackballed?
Why do they use that term?
Because many secret societies still follow the practice of balloting by using black and white balls dropped into a ballot box. The white stands for acceptance, the black for rejection. This custom is very old. It was used by the ancient Greeks and Romans. Even our word ballot means little ball. So okay. Too does the word bullet.
Well, I never knew that. I kind of want to go back to that kind of voting again. That might be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Do you only get one? You have to get only one.
Yeah, you can't have greens and oranges and reds and, you know.
And how many black balls do you have to get before you're, like, totally thrown out? Just one?
Well, it depends on what I think of you.
I don't see any in here. So
no, no, all we have is the orange ball and the yellow ball. Yeah, signs of timing. So how you been?
Good, good. You know, busy.
You got to be ramping up pretty soon to being high honcho hoo-ha for the state,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's actually kind of frightening at this point. I start thinking about all of what's coming up in the next year, and it's really exciting, but at the same time, there's a lot of responsibility. And, you know, but there's a lot of good I can do, and I'm looking forward to it. Texas had a great year.
That's what I was wondering. Have you been able to make adaptations? Have you changed your expectations based on with what he's been doing with RCRC? I mean, it's a different group, but...
But some of it, you know, like with CSAC... That represents all 58 counties, but it's really important to remember that no county be left behind. And I think that's one of the challenges in the bigger organization. And Rex, of course, has the rural county group, which has fewer members.
But they got little bitty guys, too.
But this at the same time, those folks represent a majority of the land mass of California. So it's really important to work with both. So, I do watch a lot of their issues. I'm trying to make sure they're integrated into what happens with the larger state association. But what I see most that I'm trying to get used to is the flexibility to be able to be at different meetings, presenting and representing, and not always having a lot of notice. And so all of a sudden...
So flexibility?
Flexibility. And the staff in the office have been quite challenged. Every once in a while, there'll be... potentially three people missing at some point in the day. So we just all have to work together. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's hard to think it's only 2 months away.
Yeah. Now, I know that they cover your transportation costs, but still getting on the airplane and buzzing into Sacramento just doesn't quite happen from here.
Yeah. I at this point, I usually will drive to Sacramento because I've gotten used to the drive. But sometimes, like I did fly to Monterey, it all worked out perfectly. But I usually leave lead time because I know going through SFO is usually a challenge.
Requires prior notification, which isn't always there.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
And, you know, Rex hops in a truck any time of the day, any time of the night, and drives. I can't see in the dark very well while driving. You don't want me on the road.
But he's older than you. How'd that happen?
I don't know.
This isn't a Dorian Gray thing, is it?
No.
Okay.
I think he closes his eyes because he's driven it so often.
Well, that would answer it, huh?
I've been in the car with him before, and I closed my eyes, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're gearing up. Now, when do you officially bang the gavel?
November 29th at about 7 p.m.
So that's like Thanksgiving. Extended.
Yeah,
you're right there.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's not the most, it's not the best time to have a conference, but that seems to be the yearly thing.
Yeah, but you know what that means. Next year, you're out by Christmas.
Well, yes, but you stay on as.
Yeah, I know. There's residual.
Past,
yeah.
And actually, next year we'll be in San Francisco, which will be it'll be fun. It'll be closer. This one is in San Diego, and I have friends and family who would like to attend the event, but it's not necessarily. Within a price range, for, you know, especially around Christmas time, so.
Best laid plans, huh?
Rex is even missing it.
Oh, well, is that
he's going hunting.
By plan or
he's
yeah,
going,
yeah.
He's supposedly going hunting. That's the story.
Well, you know, that makes sense. That makes sense. At least he's out doing something.
He's out of the office, which actually the staff probably every once in a while appreciates.
Sigh of relief. On. Yeah, exactly. Now, what's it going to do to your workflow here? I mean, you mentioned how the troops are going to be trying to balance things and keep things flowing, but well, that's kind of tough to do sometimes, too.
Well, it is. And what I'm finding I have to do now is, you know, email can follow us anywhere. Voicemail gets behind a bit, so I have to really be on top of that. But when it comes to meetings, what I do now is I just block off a lot of time so staff knows when to put appointments in. And then I'm also meeting people on weekends because it's the way I can make sure that everybody gets represented well, and weekends are...
Do what you got to do.
You do, and that's fine.
So
I like coffee.
Do you get a back off from some of the committee assignments as a supervisor in this situation and have others step up, like alternates, as an example?
Yeah, that is a plan. I'm looking at the, you know, we're all on probably 15 different committees, and some of them have tendencies to have their meetings on days that I'm gone a lot now. So, yeah, there's going to be a few that I'll be offering up for others to pick up for a couple of years.
Does the responsibility continue to that extent as a past?
For the first year, it's the same. I mean, as the first, okay, the year as past president has pretty much the same responsibilities. You're part of the officer team.
Oh.
And then after that, you're put out to pasture and nobody knows who you are anymore.
Congratulations.
Actually, that's not totally true.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. KINS, News and Information Time, it is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, sometimes, you know, elections suck you in, and sometimes you kind of feel like roadkill on the side. This seems to, you know, particularly with the process, I guess is what we would have to call it, with the Supreme Court justice nomination, reinforcing again that facts aren't necessarily going to get in the way of one's opinion. So as you're looking at either CSAC or some of the stuff that's happening locally or will be happening locally, how tough is it today to be able to separate fact from fiction, opinion from content, and to manage people, at least the decorum?
You know, that's a really wide-ranging question. I do think, like what you're saying, the atmosphere, whether you're talking about local politics or national, seems to have become one more that's based on emotion and ideas or
maybe, you know, rhetoric even.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I'm going, so you're right, you know, facts, one person's fact is another's fantasy. So, you know, it sometimes becomes hard to tell. I'm frustrated when I see it come to the local level where there seems to be a lot of kind of strange things happening, and it always does around campaign times anyway. But
it's been like the last 2 or 3 years. There's just been interpretation might be another term. And instead of making that extra phone call, going to visit somebody, going eyeball to eyeball, it just doesn't happen. And now we start spinning out of control.
People take things at face value. And whatever they, you know, it just kind of takes off from there. And I think it's just the way that it's polarized. It's become really interesting watching things, whether I'm at different meetings or different events. But, you know, I think recently there's been some conversation about maybe how campaign supporters actually kind of go off a little bit of the deep end. And it's not necessarily the candidates, but you've got people who really believe in you, that it does become emotional at that point, and they start doing things that kind of reflect badly on campaigns.
Well, and that happens at the national level.
I think it happens
at the state level. I don't know, because we don't tend to get too much action on the state level around here. And certainly on the local.
I mean, I think the point I'd like to make is I had it happen with one of my campaigns several years ago. And when I found out what was happening, that person was no longer invited to be part of the team. And it was hard to do, but it was like their emotions got in the way of logic, and they started doing things that weren't helpful. So yeah, I just think people have to be aware that there's a lot of differing opinions now. And I think with us now going to the ward system and this being the first election for the
city, that's a different complicator, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, when you look at it, the first ward has the smallest number of registered voters and a lower vote turnout. And in theory, there's four people running. You could have someone get only 200 votes and become the representative for Ward 1, which is totally different than in the past when a council member needed a couple thousand or more votes. And so I'm not sure people are going to be as happy about the ward system as they were when they voted for it.
I was not a supporter of it.
Frank and I wrote the article, what is it called? The opposition to it.
The info thing.
In the pamphlet, yeah. So I was not a fan of it either, but it is what it is.
So it just, I don't know. And I still don't, and this is a question I'll ask you as a supervisor also. Okay, you're elected from a physical jurisdiction.
Correct.
Okay. But you're part of a group that's larger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So is the primary obligation to your geographic small or to your geographic large? As a representative, I would think it'd be pretty clear cut, but everybody goes, no, you're wrong.
Well, no, I think you're right. I have always seen my job, well, especially with the city because it was at large, but as part of the county government, my job is on behalf of the entire county. However, when certain things happen that may be district specific, you know, there's a higher interest level from me. And also, we all look at the supervisors whose district things are happening in and try to give them a little,
sympathies?
Well, it's not sympathies. It's like sometimes you say, okay, you know, this is in Supervisor Fennell's district. You know, I'm more interested. What do you think about this, Estelle? Because there's things that are district specific that I won't know about, but that supervisor will. But overall, you know, we all try to, I think, cover each other.
Yeah, a little bit more value or credence to their opinion.
If somebody calls me that doesn't live in my district, I will either get them to the right resources or help them myself.
Sure.
And
so let's say now, and this is where I see it, and we can go back into the ward system. I don't know if any other city in the area has a ward system.
I don't think so.
But we can use Eureka as an example. Okay, there's $250,000 available for funding of street pavement. Okay, that's a fixed sum game.
Okay.
Who's going to get it? Okay, now is it going to be the roads that are the biggest thoroughfares, or is it going to be the roads in my district, or ward in this case, that are in the worst of the worst? And I'm going to do hammer and tong for my guys versus saying, well, I know H&I, but that's not my district at all, my ward at all. I need representation in mind to do the proper thing for the folks that brung me to the dance.
Well, and roads are kind of like the not the best one to look at because
deployment of law enforcement.
There you go. Because roads have a plan of what they're doing. Yeah, you know, council members can call and certainly squawk, but anyone's going to learn. One supervisor or one council member cannot direct staff. At least they're not supposed to. That is something I learned a long time ago.
Sure, but you can still make the manager's life a little challenging.
Yeah, so, you know, and I think the... Yeah, we'll continue this.
That's all right. KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Murphy's Markets, and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Virginia, in the last segment, we were talking a little bit about some of the changes that go on during the political season. Yeah, okay, it always happens. Change is endemic for the community. Some will argue that it's healthy. Some may not support that too much. You've got change now up at the airport. You got a new captain, chief, executive director, general manager. What title is there?
Department head. So
okay.
Aviation department head.
Where did this guy come from?
A Dakota.
The Dakotas. How did he stand out from the others?
Well, Cody, actually is already melding into the community really well. He showed not only a depth of knowledge, and enthusiasm, but an understanding of how to make things happen. And he has jumped in, feet first, and is taking this whole thing on. McCown, Bill, that we had, who's been wonderful as an interim, is sticking around for a little bit, but will, be leaving us soon. And, he kept things afloat, and I think he got things in a really good place for Cody to come in and be able to take it and move forward. There's some exciting things happening. There's a lot of work that needs to happen, obviously. We're still dealing with issues of landscaping, maintenance, security needs. But overall, the numbers are going well. A lot of people are flying, which is a good thing when you want to keep your airport in business. The more people we have to fly, the more service we get.
Car rental expansion.
I haven't heard that talked about most recently, but I know...
Because there's a lease situation there. But just the number of rigs. If there's more flying going on, there's going to be more need, and I know it was kind of skinny before.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily convenient either. But I think part of them have to want to go and be on site. And there's opportunity. I believe there is one of those areas that is still uninhabited. And whether someone wants to go in there or potentially maybe it's too expensive for them, I suspect leasing in the building, there's also more factors for people to deal with, because you're dealing with a federal, a lot of federal rules going into.
Well, if you got new blood, maybe there's some kind of a joint agreement so that, every car you pay X amount into the kitty.
Yeah, and there's also, I think one of the things Cody's going to be doing is looking at the lease rates that we currently have, because we've been not up to speed of what the changes that need to be made. And so I'm thinking a lot of things are going to be looking a little differently. And I know that we do want to put in a car wash facility for the rentals.
Yeah.
And I believe it's actually something that they would be putting in, but there is a certain amount from each, that'd be going in there. It's still... a work in progress, but there's some really good changes going on there. And
is he an economic guy or is he an airport dude?
I think he's pretty much both. You know, he came from a fairly small place. When he got there, there were all sorts of challenges. You know, there were a lot of write-ups from TSA. There was no money, and he was able to bring that out of the very low place it was at when he came there. And you know, we've got challenges here, and he, you know, is up to taking them on. And so I think he possesses enough knowledge, and he also knows if there's something he does not know, he will call someone and reach out for advice.
Nothing like having friends with brains and experience.
Yeah, and you know, we're bringing there'll be some consultants on board, because a lot of what we need done is really specific, but we don't have the staff that can handle the load. So he'll be working with people who have very specific knowledge in the industry.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:40. We will be back.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, one of the things I suppose that's kind of intriguing is when you, because you straddle both worlds, you certainly have had history in the private sector for a while. You're getting more history.
Are you saying I'm
in
old?
The public side. No, I'm saying you're straddling the fence, but you're able to do it somehow. Or maybe straddle the line. How's that?
Sounds good. That's, yeah,
that's probably
the other
more
one is
comfortable.
Too political sounding.
Yeah. When you see success in the private sector, do you ever wonder, geez, if we'd kept the restaurant open, or if I wanted to, you know, if I was in the private side, would this be something, this decision, would this be something I'd be excited about? Is this something that negatively impacts small businesses, mom and pops? I mean, and I know our definition of small business here is not the federal standard. It's like 10
Real
people
small.
Or less. Yeah, micro or whatever they call it.
I think it's
you ever
micro.
Get that yearning?
You know, I do. I miss the business. And every once in a while, I get someone asking me, hey, you want to open up again? And it's like, yes and no. So I think we're going to do an event once a year just to, you know, keep my
remember
my
why it's
out.
No.
Yeah, really. Exactly. But you know, I think in this community, you have to be aware of what's the impacts are to business. I know when I was growing up, my parents were so frustrated because we lived in Myrtletown. But the three businesses that we were running were in, you know, in the city. So we had no
downtown
say.
In the burg.
Yeah. So, but you know, when you talk about business, later today we're actually having an event at the Sequoia Conference Center, and it's the Women in Business event put on by the Kiwanis of Henderson Center, my club that I'm in. This is the fifth time we've done it, and it's a lot of fun. And it's where we celebrate some great women in the community and at the same time make money for a charity. So today we're going to be honoring, as Nonprofit Woman of the Year, Nancy Fleming. You know, it's been fun working for Nancy in the past.
She's with Nancy. Yeah, dog woman, huh?
Yeah, and that's where the funds will be going, is to the Humane Society. And I understand she's retiring, and I think that she has been so good for that association. So, it'll be hard to have her leave, but I think they have great folks coming on. And then we have Business Woman of the Year is Angela Petrucia, who became a lawyer basically while raising her family and working full-time, and she did it remotely. And she now is one of a very successful attorney, especially dealing with estate planning. So she's being honored. And then our Woman of Distinction is Subash, which I think just about everybody knows from Humboldt Land Title.
Of Distinction.
And she is.
Well, sounds,
you know,
cool.
She started working when she was just a child in 1956, and she's still there. I mean, you got to say there's not many people with that type of longevity, and she's really respected in the community. So I get the fun of emceeing the event. We do it in 1 hour. I've been known to kick people off the stage and take microphones away from them. So,
is that with lunch or is that
it's with
program?
Lunch. It's with
1
lunch.
Hour.
No,
okay.
It's with lunch. We basically try to get people out by 1.
So you're hustling them through pretty quick.
Oh yeah.
Well, I know there was a big push, you know, minority owned. I think, you know, when mom and dad were still here. Big deal about minority owned, and mom had 51%.
Right.
Mattered squat, shinola. Never did it ever. Other than
I think in certain things niches, it does. I mean,
is it
I
there?
Think if you're in construction, being a woman-owned construction business, that, you know, things like that gets you further points when you're doing
like competitive bidding and that stuff. Okay.
So that is probably the place where I've seen it make the biggest difference. Yeah, because we'd always been, you know, pretty much my mom was. Well, especially after dad died, obviously it was her. And, you know, I don't remember it. You know, it's not like we could pay less for things.
It wasn't a topic of the month or anything along those lines.
No. But there's benefits, I suppose, in specific industries. Maybe not in yours or mine.
I guess not. Is the environment one that is as conducive? I mean, you hear sometimes about preconceived notions about this, or it's tough for that, et cetera, et cetera. Has that changed, do you think? I mean, you still have your pulse, or the pulse of the business community.
So are you talking about women in business specifically?
Yeah, just...
You know, I think women in business, it's kind of, to me, like run-of-the-mill. I mean, I think perhaps a majority of businesses are owned by women these days, and it's not like people necessarily... It's not as big of a deal. It's routine. And I did want to mention Nancy. Do you remember when she used to own Gourmet Gallery?
Yeah.
I was going through her.
Oh, you found some old stuff?
Oh, yeah. It was great. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I remember that. But that back then, that was unusual to have a woman in business at that level.
Yeah, probably. What was that? Not to cast wrinkles anywhere, but 25 or 30 years ago?
That was, let me see here, I can tell you right now, 1976.
Okay, well, that was 42 years ago.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Off by a little bit. So, like, in essence, Nancy...
So we were in high school.
Anywhere.
We were young pups then.
Actually, I was in... Yeah,
yeah,
I was
you
in
were
high
in high school.
School.
Don't pull that one on me.
School.
Yeah.
No, I graduated in 80. Yeah. You're older.
And more feeble-minded.
And taller.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, geez.
Male.
So if, geez, three strikes and you're out. I guess my team doesn't.
No.
It's going to be ugly in the playoffs.
World news.
Oh, if folks want to swing by, can they get tickets at the door?
You know, I'm going to go on a limb and say yes, and they're $35.
Good.
We begin at, I think, 12. Show up a little earlier if you want to try to get in.
And going for a good cause.
A very good cause.
Have fun.
I will. Do you want to come?
We'll find out if I qualify. See everybody tomorrow.